We've been able to keep people employed, which has made such a difference in so many people's lives. And I'm incredibly worried about what's going to happen when that JobKeeper goes away.
Australia enters a new COVID crunch. It's Wednesday, March 31st. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online. We're at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, floating China's naval abilities, turning around press freedom, seeking equal representation. It's all on today's VOA Asia. First, we begin with our daily update on Myanmar. Two more people were killed as thousands of pro-democracy demonstrators took to the streets again Tuesday in Myanmar's largest city of Yangon and in several other towns to oppose military rule of the country since the February 1st coup. Myanmar security forces have since killed at least 512 civilians, according to the Assistance Association for Political Prisoners. Trash piled up at intersections in Yangon as protesters launched a garbage strike, and security forces reportedly fatally shot a man in the south and killed another person in a northern town. Three of the country's armed ethnic rebel groups, meanwhile, threatened the junta on Tuesday with retaliation if it does not stop killing protesters. On Monday, security forces killed 14 people during demonstrations in towns across the country, following the deadliest weekend since the February military coup, according to the Assistance Association for Political Prisoners. Meanwhile, more COVID issues for Australia. The country's multi-billion dollar wage subsidy, credited with saving hundreds of thousands of jobs during the COVID-19 pandemic, has ended. A cluster of infections has forced the Queensland city of Brisbane into a snap three-day lockdown. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
The $53 billion JobKeeper program was the biggest economic package in Australian history. It guaranteed workers a paycheck, even when businesses were forced to close during lockdowns. In Canberra, the government has said with the recovery underway, it's time for the economy to support itself. Senior officials have said JobKeeper would be replaced by targeted stimulus programs, the first stage of which will be an expansion of the scheme to pay part of the wages of apprentices. But critics believe the move is premature, and the end of the wage subsidy scheme will put many jobs in jeopardy. Leanne Harwood is the Managing Director for Japan, Australasia and Pacific at IHG Hotels and Resorts. She had hoped JobKeeper would be expanded to help the tourism industry.
Without it, we would have had to make a lot more people redundant. Sadly, we would have lost a lot more people. And we probably would have had to close a lot more doors of our hotels. And right now, we've been able to keep most of them open, which has been, quite frankly, a godsend, having that JobKeeper to be able to do that. You know, we've been able to keep people employed, which has made such a difference in so many people's lives. And I'm incredibly worried about what's going to happen when that JobKeeper goes away.
The pandemic sent Australia into recession for the first time since the 1990s. But there is evidence the economy is rebounding strongly. Recent figures from the Australian Bureau of Statistics have shown Australia's jobless rate dropped from 6.6% in December 2020 to 6.4% in January. Australia has mostly contained the virus, but a small but growing cluster of infections in Brisbane has forced the authorities to order a three-day lockdown starting Monday, and stay-at-home orders will apply. The Queensland State Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk said she was very concerned. However, in neighbouring New South Wales, more COVID-19 restrictions are being eased on Monday. Singing and dancing is now permitted, allowing nightclubs to reopen. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Read, see, and hear the latest on our website at voanews.com. And you can always follow the latest updates with us on Twitter at VOA Asia, as well as on Facebook. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. More demonstrators killed in Myanmar anti-coup protests. United Nations Human Rights Group deeply concerned over China's treatment of Uyghurs. Three female polio vaccinators killed in Afghanistan. Pakistan launches polio vaccination drive amid surge in COVID-19 infections. China approves major overhaul of Hong Kong electoral system. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories and much more when you visit Facebook at VOA Asia and our website at voanews.com. We continue with VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Tensions were in the open the other week when diplomats from the United States and China met face-to-face in Alaska. Human rights, trade tariffs, and increasing Chinese naval activity are not new issues, but they were the topics of pointed barbs traded during discussions. Retired Admiral James Stavridis spent 37 years in the military serving in NATO and as the head of the U.S. Southern Command. He has spent his career dealing with the world's great naval powers. VOA's Jayla DeFranceschi spoke with him about the current state of affairs between Beijing and Washington.
China controls almost the entire South China Sea, claiming it has irrefutable sovereignty over waters that carry nearly two-thirds of world trade and much of its energy resources to markets. Washington fears that if China is allowed to define a new area of geopolitical dominance, it will destabilize Asia and the world. Beijing has accused Washington of deliberately stoking tensions by holding large military drills and deploying additional warships to the contested sea. The United States wants to convince China that it is in its interests to use the rule of law to pursue its goals. But retired Admiral James Stavridis says conflicting visions could lead to accidental war.
Both sides, I think, have unfortunately the possibility of miscalculating. The United States could believe that they could push forward again and again and that China would not want to respond militarily. China, on the other hand, could believe that the United States would back off if China fired the initial shot or two.
By 2034, China could outpace the United States in critical sectors of cybersecurity and creating advanced offensive cyber tools. China is also becoming more nationalistic, contends Stavridis. Geostrategic instability is spreading in other parts of Asia as well. Still, there are areas where the two superpowers could see cooperation, says Stavridis.
The U.S. and China together are the only possible combination that can move the needle on global warming and climate change. A second one would be to prepare for what we've just gone through. What about the next pandemic? In a much better world, the U.S. and China would be cooperating to help us all prepare for that.
Whether the future holds cooperation, conflict, or some carefully negotiated middle ground remains to be seen. But it's clear that the U.S. and China's relationship going forward will have an oversized impact on the world. For Jayla DeFranceschi in Washington, NRI's VOA News.
Happening now in Asia, Thailand Prime Minister Prayut Chan-o-cha denied claims that villagers who fled Myanmar to Thailand due to military airstrikes were forced out of Thailand, saying the refugees returned to Myanmar on their own. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Thanks for joining us today for VOA Asia. Journalists in Bangladesh say the 2018 Digital Security Act is being used to harass and jail members of the media, including Mustaq Ahmed, who died in prison. Sanjana Feroz for VOA Bangla tells us more.
Since it was passed in 2018, journalists and media experts have warned that Bangladesh's Digital Security Act could be open to abuse. Those warnings grew louder after the death in custody of journalist Mustaq Ahmed. Photojournalist Shofiqul Islam Kajol was detained for almost 2 months over social media posts.
গ্রেপ্তার হয়েছি তো জেলের মধ্যে।
I was arrested and taken to prison, and it's said in the news that I went missing. You know what happened. In fact, I do not want to go back to that context, and you also have an idea why I don't want to. I cannot speak the truth about what happened.
Journalists in Bangladesh already come under pressure from both the government and opposition. The Digital Security Act increased the risk of arrest, with over 50 journalists charged under it in the first half of 2020.
This digital security law is in force more on journalists in the outskirts of Dhaka, and there were many instances where journalists have been harassed for speaking the truth.
International media organizations and local journalists say provisions in the law mean it could be used to impede journalism and have called on the government to repeal it.
We have demanded changes in the Digital Security Act so that journalists or any other person who expresses their opinion in any form can be insured of security from law enforcement. The non-bailable clause needs to be changed, and at the same time, no one can misuse it.
The Committee to Protect Journalists spoke with the government officials in 2017, who acknowledged problems with the previous internet law known as the ICT Act and promised to implement safeguards. But media are still being targeted. The use of the act to harass journalists and the February death of journalist Mushtaq Ahmed, who was arrested under the terms of the act and died in prison, are believed to be behind the government's plans to make changes to the act, journalists say. Sanjana Feroz, VOA News, Washington.
Although Washington, D.C. is the seat of U.S. political power, its residents have no representative with voting rights in Congress, nor rights of full home rule because of its unique status as the federal capital. But advocates for making Washington, D.C. a state say they see more potential than ever, as VOA's Carol Gunsberg shares details.
When rioters attacked the U.S. Capitol in a failed attempt to stop Congress from certifying the presidential election of Joe Biden, Washington's Mayor Muriel Bowser lacked the authority to call in the National Guard to help police. The episode has given new momentum to the District of Columbia's long-running effort to become a state.
I'm upset that 706,000 residents of the District of Columbia did not have a single vote in that Congress yesterday, despite the fact that our people were putting their lives on the line to protect our democracy.
The district lacks local autonomy. Its budget and local laws, unlike those of states, are subject to approval by Congress. Its residents pay federal taxes but cannot send someone to Congress to cast votes on their behalf. Eleanor Holmes Norton has championed statehood for three decades as the district's non-voting delegate to the House of Representatives.
The United States is the only country that denies the residents of its capital city the same rights that everybody else has.
Norton introduced legislation, passed by the House last year, that would shrink the federal district to 2 square miles, including the Capitol, White House, and other major government buildings and monuments. The district's remaining 66 square miles would become the new state. The legislation was reintroduced in January with even more backers.
What is important is that we have the support of the new president of the United States, Joe Biden, as well as the support of the leaders of the Senate and of the House. That's a trifecta that's hard to beat.
But Republicans in Congress oppose statehood. Because the district's voters overwhelmingly support Democrats, that would mean 2 more Democrats in a Senate that is now evenly divided between the 2 major parties. Republican Congressman Dusty Johnson says Washingtonians do deserve representation, just not in a separate new state. His proposed legislation would make most of the district part of the neighboring state of Maryland without adding seats in the House or Senate. A House panel will consider Norton's bill this month. While it may pass in the democratically controlled House, it is unlikely to pass in the Senate, where Democrats have only a slim margin of control. Carol Gunsberg, VOA News, Washington.
Join us again at this same time for another edition of VOA Asia. In the meantime, you can find us online. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Look us up under our name, VOA Asia. Thanks for joining us. And thanks to our staff, Managing Editor Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe. Be well.